Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And good Saturday afternoon to you. You're listening to Upstate Outdoors on 106.3 WRD. I'm Philip Gentry along with Tommy Springer.
Hey, what's up?
He has a look and says, oh.
No, man. Money Penny's the best.
Yeah, they're only, what, 40 seconds into the game and Alabama scored?
Yeah.
Colorado School of Welding, huh?
No, it's actually Arkansas, which is about like that. This year. Anyway.
All right.
Let's talk about hunting fishing.
Yeah,
let's talk about hunting fishing.
We
actually get paid for, by God.
There you go.
And, if you can
Springer, believe. you should go to straight up with Sturge and do a Alabama fest.
Oh, my gosh. I would make so many.
On ESPN
Upstate.
I
would make so many of his listeners mad because I ain't going to sugarcoat it like Sturge does, you know, because, you know, he's here in Clemson land. Springer will be like all Donald Trump on them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I call it like I see it.
There you go. Well, coming up on today's show, we're going to start out, as usual, with the Upstate Outdoors blog, where we're talking about primitive weapons season open this weekend.
Yeah. Those not-so-primitive guns?
I heard several whoosh. Not many.
Right.
Because it is like 96 degrees. And it's bad when you're sitting in the deer stand. And, you know, you're out there looking at a corn pile, and all of a sudden you hear, pop, 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 and you look, and it's like, is it snowing? No, man, that corn's popping.
You had me for a second.
He's like, it looks like it's snowing out there. No, man, it's so hot that the corn pile that you poured out, it starts, pop, 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 pop.
And Doe looks up and say, got any salt?
Yeah. They're tossing it back and forth.
Well said. That was pretty good, Philip. That's good. That's good radio right there.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So we're going to talk about that, like I said, not-so-primitive weapon season. And then we're going to talk to Ron Cox from Cox Gunsmithing down on Woodruff Road. And, we talked to Ron last year about some of the services that they offer there. And I actually had him work on one of my guns this summer. It had a little rust problem with it. And, actually, it was one of my son's guns, and you know he wanted me to hold it for him. So my fault, and it was it's still in the case.
Right,
left it in the case for through the winter. So you got that little fine coating of rust
on
it.
Yes, sir.
I took it down there to Ron. I'm like, he said, nah, no problem. We'll take care of it. So we'll talk to Ron, and then we're going to You know, since it's almost 80 degrees, it's some good duck hunting weather to talk about duck hunting. We're going to have the Ducks Unlimited 2018 duck forecast. They should do a Ducks Unlimited calendar along with that duck forecast.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But pretty decent, maybe. The duck populations, they go into each flyway, and we'll cover the Mississippi and the Atlantic since that's where most of our folks have their experience duck hunting. But it's kind of holding its own, maybe not as good, and, you know, a lot of that really, really depends on some land, really, that's up in Canada and northern United States and how well they do and the amount of water that they have up there.
Absolutely.
You'd be surprised. So going into the second hour, we're going to cover the Roadkill Cafe.
Done a lot of cooking this week, mostly with your deer meat. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And Money Fitty T, so another one of Springer's one-dish wonders. Springer's deer dip.
Okay? Deer dip. Did you get that picture of the deer beans I sent to you?
No, I didn't.
I went out in the woods. You put it on the Roadkill Cafe.
You dog.
I found a whole pile of deer beans for your deer bean dip. I just, you know, maybe you got to cook them a while.
I think those will leave a real bad taste.
I didn't see it, you know, but they were definitely deer beans.
Oh, they definitely was.
And they were shiny.
Yeah, real shiny.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh and shiny. So I was like, hey, here's some deer beans for Springer's deer bean dip.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I wouldn't eat it. But then,
me either.
promised a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And we tried. We're going to try again.
Excellent.
We're going to get Marty Robinson from the now Major League. Well, he's always been Major League Fishing.
Yeah.
But Marty made his announcement a while back. And we covered that some last week about all the folks that are leaving the Bass Elite Tour.
Right.
And are going to join the new Bass Pro Tour. And we'll talk to Marty, not so much about, I think Marty's decision was pretty much made.
Sure.
Just based on, you know, his success in MLF versus, right. you know, what he was doing at Bass Elite. And but maybe we can kind of prime a little bit for, hey, what can we expect? What can we expect out of this tour? So we'll look forward to talking to Marty. And then we got a few updates on the coastal flooding as far as how they will be affecting hunters, fishermen, boaters, outdoorsmen, stuff like that.
It's insane.
And in the calendar of events.
Getting slim, but we got a couple.
Y'all need to do more stuff. Or if you're already doing stuff, you need to tell us.
It's that time of the year where it's like
college football. It's like people are like, look, man, we ain't even going to try to plan. You know,
but I do.
Let's have it on a Wednesday.
I have two or three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to get together and have a banquet on Saturday? Okay.
No.
I'm going down to Death Valley, going down to Willie B. You know?
You're amazing.
I get it. I get it.
Okay.
Whole world comes to a stop. Which
I mean,
good.
You know, we even got deer and football in our parting shots.
Good one. And our parting shot, we'll talk about a...
that sounds like Springer's dream. Yes.
We'll talk about a 90-yard touchdown where we had a very unusual blocker.
Yeah, heck of a lead blocker.
So, you're talking about how hot it is deer season. Had a chance to get out yesterday evening. And I tell you what, it was so hot. And I'm normally not the one to talk about how hot it
is.
It was muzzleloader, so I got to change, you know, from my close-up in the wood stands to the stands that's out in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, and fortunately, I took some burlap with me, and I'm cutting, like, window blinds to hang up, you know. It's like, oh, there's a deer. And he's like, what's that guy doing? It don't matter. Just, you know, I'm hanging window blinds trying to stay in the shade.
If you'd have just took that selfie yesterday without your shirt, I could have swore you might have been in a tuna tower somewhere.
Yeah, that's it.
Because it looked intense, dog.
And I was like, but.
That's crazy.
I will say they still move.
That's crazy.
And I said, you know, it's too hot. It's too hot to hunt, but it ain't dark yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
And as soon as that sun, and I guess maybe that's what it is. Who knows? I mean, who knows about deer movement, but as soon as that sun got behind the trees, get about an hour, and out they came.
And there's a big, you can feel the difference in the temperature as soon as that sun gets, because, you know, I notice it in the yard.
We had just a little sliver of moon all night.
Yes.
So I don't know if they walked any afternoon or whatever, but I saw a good deer and managed to restrain myself and don't know that I'd do it again. It was such a good deer.
Amazing.
But that's what you get.
Yeah.
So we'll head back down this afternoon.
You part of that, let him walk, need to grow up. You ain't but a 2.5, ain't but a 3-year-old.
Well, I'm
going to tell you what would happen to walk out on Springer.
I am subscribing to that theory. I'm trying to let more of them walk. I got back to camp and I looked at what I had killed last year.
Right.
And the deer I let walk was probably as good as anything I killed last year. You know,
that's
right up in there. And
impressive.
I was like, well, you know,
time will tell.
Well, let's go to our break, and then when we come back, we will jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. We're going to talk a little muzzle loading, which the primitive weapon is not so primitive anymore. Stay tuned.
Well, this weekend marks the first and only weekend of primitive weapons season in both game zones 1 and 2.
Yep.
Thank goodness. Now, while archery season, which includes crossbows, has been open in game zone 2 since September 15th, primitive firearms season opened in both zones on October 1st. What was that, Monday?
Mm-hmm.
And runs until October 10th. Primitive weapons season is probably a misnomer in today's era because of black powder weapons. Don't push that button when you cough. Push the other button.
It's okay, buddy. I got your back.
All right, let me reread that. Primitive weapon season is probably a misnomer in today's era. How do you say that word? Era of black powder weapons.
You asking me to pronounce proper English?
Most hunters hunt with a muzzleloader because it gives them a 10-day head start on deer season, said primitive weapons hunter Ronnie Boyce. I kind of evolved into it. Back in the day, I owned a Browning automatic rifle and had as many shots as I wanted. And then I put that gun down and used a bolt action 30-06, and that'll turn you against guns right there using the 30-06, before graduating to a single-shot Remington. Then one day I decided I was going to take the one-shot standard to the highest level and shoot black powder only. Now, Boyce is quick to point out that he is far from the traditional muzzleloader hunter and embraces the advanced technology of today's smoke pole rifles. In fact, he claims he will match the reliability and accuracy of his Thompson Center Arms Encore Super 50, and that's probably the top gun.
It is.
From what I've read. In the muzzleloader, mm-hmm. is the Thompson, the Center Arms Super 50. He said, but he'll match the reliability and accuracy of that gun with any standard deer rifle in the hands of the average deer hunter out to 200 yards.
Golly.
Okay? I said, this ain't your grandfather's muzzleloader. There's no more measuring powder, cutting patches, misfires in the rain, or messy cleanup. Now, while primitive weapons are legal in most places of the state that allow center fire weapons, only game zones 1 and 2, that's the Mountain Hunt Unit and the Piedmont Unit, are designated primitive weapons season in South Carolina. I think that's actually not correct. I think they have muzzleloader on some WMAs. See, anytime you're talking about South Carolina, you got two sets of rules.
You got too many rules.
You got the standard rules on private land, yep. which is typically what I go by, and then you got a whole nother set of rules. Sometimes they coincide and sometimes they don't, that deal with public land.
Exactly.
So talking about private land, like down in game zone 3 and 4, I think game zone 3 has a little bit of a bow season. Game zone 4, August 15th.
It's hammered down with rifles.
Yeah. Until January 1st. Anyway, so he says, we're talking about the upstate in the different black powder seasons. It's for that reason that the upstate sees more black powder usage than the rest of South Carolina. I don't hunt any differently with a muzzleloader than I did with a rifle, explains Boyce. Part of that has to do with the fact that even with a rifle, I always try to get my shots up where I could get the deer within 100 yards of my stand. That doesn't mean I won't shoot further, and I have a self-imposed killing range of 200 yards, which I've taken only once and killed the deer where it stood. Now, muzzleloader hunting typically combines the reduced range of bow hunting and the ease of use of gun hunting. And you're talking about reduced range, I agree with him. 100 yards, okay, anything out to 100 yards, you know, I'm going to shoot it a lot before I'm going to try anything longer than that. But, you know, so there, you really going to have to learn how to pattern deer and which foods they prefer and which routes they're most likely to use in order to get within range. I mean, you're not going to go sit on an open bean field or a slope of clover with a quarter-mile view in a muzzleloader. I remember during muzzleloader season, I saw a really, really, really nice deer at about 300 yards. Ain't nothing you can do.
I just
sit there and like, I'm like,
now
how
you got,
far?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know that was going through your mind.
Yeah, I'm like, how far
high? How high, Uncle?
Because that muzzleloader, with that 50 caliber muzzleloader.
Oh, my gosh.
It weighs a half ounce
exactly.
Or something.
Exactly. It's like throwing a pyramid sinker.
Yeah. Only you can get it back
exactly.
If you miss the first time. Now, Boyce hunts private lands and mostly game zone 2 and says he builds mostly box blinds for hunting. The boxes are comfortable. comfortable, safe, and they afford cover from the eyes of the deer. An additional aspect to muzzleloader is that he can introduce newcomers and even kids to the sport without requiring much experience. He's also an avid archery hunter, and he explains that it takes much time and practice to get the hang of archery before you can take somebody bow hunting. But with the muzzleloader, the learning curve is much faster for newcomers and kids.
Agreed.
So, you know, if you got a kid and, you know, you can teach them the next step. It's something different, he said, and for me, I enjoy concentrating on the details. For one, I shoot the same gun all season. Two, and it's almost entirely a one-shot deal, and you have to make the shot count. The third, it makes you a better hunter and definitely a better tracker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would have never thought that.
Yeah. I guess I don't know what that says about the accuracy if he's saying, well, it's a better, you know.
I was with him today, but I'm like, whoa.
I had a buddy of mine, you know, you're talking about – talking about where you aim on a deer with what weapon.
Right.
I had a buddy of mine who said, look, I give up on all this behind the shoulder, in front of the shoulder, in the neck, all this. He goes, I see a deer, I draw X on it in my mind. X, you know, from and I aim for the slap middle of the deer. He said, I find all of them. Might take me a while, but I find all of them.
Wow.
I aim for slap middle of the deer. And he wasn't a really great shot. And he says, that way if it varies.
One way or left or right.
I'm going to hit it. When I was out here, and that's true. If you're a good tracker and you hit the deer.
Yeah. Well, true enough.
Most of the time you find him.
True enough.
You're talking about with something.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Size of a pyramid sinker.
Yeah, size of a pyramid sinker especially. I do remember one time I got this burr under my saddle for wanting to kill a deer with a slug. Okay, out of a shotgun.
Okay.
And that's another thing, you know, folks from up north, you know, they have, oh, we got a shotgun season.
Yeah.
And
hey, some places where that's all they can hunt
and
with.
And the same thing has kind of happened with shotguns, you know.
Technology.
They use rifle barrels, yep, and sabotaged slugs and stuff like that. And there are shotgun slugs that you can,
yeah,
shoot out to 200 yards,
yeah,
now with a scope.
Because it's not actually tumbling. It's actually got a spin,
yeah,
going on.
It's got a spin. But I think it was when the old Greenville Sports Authority or whatever they called it up there on Lawrence Road.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there, and they had a rifled slug barrel for Remington 870.
Okay.
And I bought it.
Okay.
And then they also had a cantilever scope mount.
Uh-oh.
So when you change the barrel, you stuck that in there and screwed it in,
yeah,
and you had a scope mount.
Right.
Which means it's kind of like bore sighting. Okay?
Pretty much.
It means it was going to be pointing in the same direction as the barrel.
Excellent.
But, I drilled that thing in, finally got it pretty close, killed a deer with it, hit it right in the middle. Okay?
Yeah.
Gut shot it.
Yeah.
And I just followed a trail of,
yeah, because I'm
of
tell
goo
you
and found, well, that deer.
Yeah, because you talk about a hole. Well, you go with a slug and buckshot. Looks like somebody drove a pickup truck through him, you know?
You mean a slug out of a shotgun.
Right.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
what I'm saying. It's,
yeah,
it's a brutal hole.
Yeah. It goes in about like a water hose.
Exactly.
It comes out about like that Yeti cooler, about that Yeti cup you got in your hand. All right. Well, enough about me and Springer talking about deer we've killed in the past.
Hey. That's all I've
and they
got.
Were all bigger.
That's all I've got anymore.
And they were all smaller than I remember them being, I'm,
yeah,
sure. Let's go to our break. When we come back, let's talk some real guns,
yes,
with the real gunsmith, Ron Cox.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We're going to talk a little gun 101 to Mr. Ronnie Cox right after these messages.
All right, welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, 106.3 WORD. And we were talking about it being primitive weapons season this weekend, which means next weekend it's time for the guns. And when you talk guns in the upstate of South Carolina, you need to know the next guy we got on our show. We got Ron Cox with us from Cox Gunsmith. And Ron, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Thanks doing good, Ron.
Well, Ron, has since last time we talked, has Have you been overrun with folks coming in saying, man, I need to get my guns ready to go? Or did that heat wave just knock them back down again?
Well, I tell you what, the heat hadn't helped. You know, everybody can't get fired up about hunting or anything like that. It's just been miserable out there. This summer's never going to end. But it's busy. Yeah, everybody's, you know, they thinking about it. It's just hard to sit in the woods all day with it.
Yeah, I was telling Springer earlier in the show, I went out hunted yesterday evening with muzzleloader, and I was sitting out there sweating and drinking water and going, what in the world am I doing? But I said, wait till it gets dark. And, you know, by the time it got dark, started seeing some deer come out. They're the same as people. You know, they don't want to go stand out there in the heat. I mean, unless there's a football game going on. But
that's absolutely right. And we've had some nice deer been killed.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, they're have. Moving.
But as far as, you know, your location out there on Woodruff Road, I mean, you guys have been there forever and ever. It's a father and son gunsmithing business. Tell us a little bit about the history of how you folks got into the gunsmith business.
Well, my dad started this 55 years ago. And, you know, and he just kind of, he actually was a fireman in Greenville. And he worked some at that time there. And then he had a little shop here. And then it got so big, you know, it just hunting started. You know, back then it was rabbit hunting and quail hunting is about all it was around here. And then the trap and skeet and all that, you know, got bigger and bigger. And he shot trap all over the country. And so it evolved from that. And we started, you know, when hunting picked up, you know, I got out of college and it was like, you know, which way are we going to go? And it's just been overwhelming ever since, you know. And I've been doing it for 35 years right here in the same spot. We used to be way out in the country, and now city's kind of come up on us.
I was going to say, you hadn't moved, and the city has come to you.
Exactly.
It has come, I tell you.
Do you ever, when you're out there shooting, you ever get any of the neighbors complaining about, well, that's just not right to have somebody shooting firearms out here. Hey, ma'am, Mrs. Pravinsky, or whatever your last name is. I was here a long time before you ever thought about moving down here, you know?
Yeah, we do have that. You know, we kind of grandfathered in with that. But, you know, we thought about that years ago when we seen it happen. And we built, you know, kind of an underground tunnel that we can shoot through, and majority of what we shoot through there, and it muffles it tremendously.
Yeah.
And that helps us. You know, we test fire everything that we repair, and we side in a lot of guns, and, you know, but sometimes, you know, you gotta see what's going on a little better. And we do shoot outside, but so far everybody around here, they know we're here, and they'll appreciate it.
If they don't, they'll learn pretty quick.
I tell you, Ron, it's amazing me what's happened out there around you. I mean, I've watched that over the years. Just golly, I mean, there's a subdivision right down the road from you. Good God, okay, it's incredible.
Yeah, we're
man.
Right in the middle of subdivision.
I know
now.
It.
They're across the road, both sides behind it.
You never would have thought out there where you were that one day somebody would come up with a bright idea to build. Let's build a roundabout out here.
Yeah.
What's around? You like, what are we need a roundabout for?
Well, Ron, don't feel too bad. The same things happened to me and more. When I moved out there, there was nothing. Now it's, good Lord, Motor City Madhouse. You know what I mean?
I know. It is. It's everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
But, you know, we have a lot of new people moving in the area, a lot of hunters from up north, a lot of people that want to get involved with hunting from up north and everything. It's been great customers, just a lot of real super people moving into this area.
Absolutely. And as far as the business that you guys are in, so I know you do a lot of shotgun work, do a lot of rifle work. What else? I mean, do you also work on handguns if they need some work done on handguns too?
We do. We work on, you know, all the pistols. We do all that kind of stuff like that, repair them, you know, sights, triggers, whatever they want done on that. And then we do, a big volume of sporting clay, trap, skeet, all your, you know, your over and unders and setting up that from adjustable combs, recoil systems, adjustable butt plates. And then, of course, your hunting guns, rifles, and we can set them all up here. We sell everything. So, you know, pretty much if you want it, we should be able to get it for you. And then we do a lot for the youth. We set up a lot of youth guns, get them fit to them so they can, you know, The recoil isn't bad on them. We got different things we can do to help them with that, the length of pull and stuff that they can handle and enjoy and not get scared off from the recoil of a gun.
And, you know, we were talking about, you know, how much Greenville has grown. And, you know, back in the old days, folks used to, they'd go out to grandpa's land or whatever, you know, before deer season and shoot and sight in their rifles, you know, make sure it's still on from last year. And a lot of folks either don't have, I mean, we got a few public ranges around, but, I mean, they're some distance away. But a lot of folks either don't have time or don't have the ability to go and do that. But that is a service that you offer to your customers.
We do. And it's hard for now for anybody to find anywhere to shoot. You know, they kind of don't want to go blasting on their hunting land because it's right at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we do. We sight them in, mount scopes, set them up, sight them in for them, and get them ready to go hunting. And that's getting bigger and bigger each year because people are losing the places to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, but, you know, the public ranges that we do have are, like I said, that requires some time. I mean, if you've got five or six guns that you need to go, you know, check and get sighted in, and you go out to the range a month before gun season starts, you might have to wait in the line. You might have to wait an hour or so before you're going to get a table available. And then you got to go through and do all your guns. So a lot of times it's just a lot easier to stop on by Woodruff Road and drop them off and have you do them right there.
Absolutely. And it'll really pick up. Once that cool spell comes, you know, it sets everybody on fire. But we've sighted in a lot each year, and we get them ready for them any way they want to do it, mount scope, you know, and any caliber, we sell the ammo, whatever they need, we'll help them any way we can.
And you also refurbish guns. Like, so let's say somebody takes a wet gun and puts it in a case.
Hey, I was going to say, I was telling that story. I said, I have to blame it on one of my kids left a gun in a case for a year and got that little light coating of rust on there. And I tell you what, that's a Savage. It's a right-handed Savage, and mm-hmm. that gun looks good. What all did you do to that?
He probably bead blasted it.
Yeah.
Well, I done, you know, it's just and it's a new thing that we started doing, but it's a Cerakote.
Okay.
It's just something that coats it, keeps the air from getting to it, just so it doesn't rust. It's a new product that's been out a few years, and it's just a little different than blue, and where blue and turns to metal blue. This is actually a coating that kind of covers the gun.
So did you have to take the finish down off of it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to get the finish down, rough it up, and then it's sprayed on, dried. I got a dryer, put them in there, and it does real good. You see a lot of different colors and stuff like that. But we do that, and all the regular re-bluing in the stock work, checkering, and things like that.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Ron, if folks are wanting to come out there and kind of get acquainted or bring you some guns, where can they find you? What's the best way? What's the number they can find you at?
Okay, our phone number is 864-288-3238, and our address is 3138 Woodruff Road.
Yep, just
Simpsonville.
You just keep on going out there past Five Forks, and you got to kind of be careful. Look on your right
because
you'll go past it. Not realize
on the road. We're in the residence. We got a shop that's been here for about 30 plus years now. You can kind of come and see where it's evolved. Where my dad started at this building, and then the building we are now. But we're here. We ain't going anywhere. So if we can help anybody, come on.
All right.
Excellent, Ron.
Awesome. Ron Cox, Cox Gunsmith, and thanks for being on the show with us.
Hey, thank y'all so much for having me.
All right, brother. Good man.
Yeah, Cerakote.
I mean, I remember the first time I ever drove by that place.
Yeah.
What in the world is this doing way out here in nowhere? Because back then, 20 years ago,
it was nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our break. We'll talk a little bit of duck hunting. We've been talking about shotgunning, muzzle loading, and now we're going to talk about what you can expect to see in the skies come fall.
Cut them right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned. Going hunting, duck hunting, next.
Woo! Springer.
Yes.
Monster energy drinks and radio don't go together.
Well, dude,
I'm about to choke to death.
Well, man, you know, it's
sitting out there in all the heat yesterday.
Well, and plus, you didn't see what I put in that when you went to the bathroom.
Oh, did you? Pee-pee in my cup?
No, I ain't going to do that.
All right, well, despite the, despite whatever Springer put in my drink, and despite the 90-degree temperatures outside, duck season, ready or not, will be here before you know it. And I always look forward to going to ducks.org, which is the Ducks Unlimited website, and looking at what those folks, you know, they got all the scientists and stuff. They sent them up there to the Prairie Pothole Region. That sounds like a country band.
Yeah, or a country song.
Oh, cow in the Prairie Pothole Region back here behind me.
Scrub you
one
off.
Y'all, we're going to scrub one off here. Just, y'all sit back.
One, a two, oh.
That sounds like...
That's Andy Griffith all
night. That's Andy Griffith. So, although waterfowl numbers declined on many key breeding areas this spring, most duck and goose populations remain healthy. So, it's like everywhere else. They're running out of room, but they're still just as horny. Right? This year's waterfowl breeding population and habitat survey offered mixed results for hunters and others who appreciate you thinking about what I just said, aren't you?
Yes.
Who appreciate North America's migratory birds. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, total populations of breeding ducks were estimated at 41.2 million birds in the traditional survey area, but that's a decrease of 13% from last year's estimate of 47.3 million. How do they know?
I was going to ask you the same question, brother.
Statistical modeling. They take square footage.
Yeah, I get it.
And, I mean, you can almost do all that from satellite imagery now.
I get it.
Is you can, you know, they do samplings, but it's statistical modeling. Okay. And a lot of folks poo-poo on that, but when you're talking about a large breeding area like that, and that's just all they know, what about them few ducks that are over under the trees? Well, man, it's too hot out here to just sit in a Prairie Pothole Region and listen to that daggum bluegrass music all day.
I got you.
Let's go over here in these trees and hang out.
Right.
You know, they don't get counted.
Right.
You can't see them. But they do aerial surveys and all. And anyway, I'm digressing. And, and the one or two scientists who listen to this show go, this guy's an idiot.
But you know what?
Yeah.
We paid idiots
That's
to talk
right.
on
paid
the radio.
Idiots. Paid idiots. But they're talking about, let's see, 13% decrease. However, total duck numbers remained 17% above the average. Now, that's between 1955 and 2017. In addition, populations of the most abundant duck species were above their long-term averages, except for northern pintail and a scalp. I couldn't tell you what scalp looks like, but northern pintails, man, they seem like they've been on a decline. Which is why when I went to the Bass Pro Shops in Memphis,
right,
I seriously thought about absconding with one of them jokers that was just swimming around in a little pond they had inside, but he hadn't molted yet and he didn't have his sprig.
He didn't have his sprig.
If he'd had his sprig, of course, you know, the funny thing about that story is there's nothing that keeps him in. So you'd be over there, you know, shopping everything, you know, pull back. Oh, sorry, man. Ooh, excuse me.
That sounds like a cool place, man.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I? The total May pond count, unlike the estimate of breeding ducks, was near the long-term average of ducks. And then you got Chief Scientist Tom Moorman. He said he's with DU. He said the dip in population for prairie breeding puddle ducks is not unexpected and by no means unprecedented, given that conditions on the prairies this spring were drier than last year. And that's what it's all about, man. It's all about water. You ain't got no water, you ain't got no ducks. You got to have water, you got to have food. And if you ain't got no water, you don't get no food either because the food don't grow. So let's scroll down because this is a long, if you want to read the whole article, it's on www.ducks.org/hunting/2018 waterfowl forecast. Now, for the Mississippi Flyway, the majority of the Mississippi Flyway waterfowl are raised on the prairies of the United States and Canada, as well as in the Western Boreal Forest. I have no idea where that's at. Southern and Central Ontario and the Great Lakes. Let's see. DU biologist Lena Vanden Elson reports that cool weather delayed waterfowl breeding efforts in southern Manitoba this spring. And let's get down here and talk about how many greenheads we're going to see there, Ellie. Summer precipitation and temperatures were variable across the region, and dry weather and average temperatures in the south and average precipitation. It sounds like weather forecast.
Sure does.
Nesting Canada geese appear to have been impacted by the cool spring weather, while mallards and other ducks have had a more typical breeding effort. Yeah, I don't think that I could breed if I knew somebody was up here in a helicopter spying on me.
You're
either.
So crazy, dog.
I mean, what? Think about it.
I could care less.
Honey. It's like honey. And a duck could. A duck could care less. You ever get one of them ducks in the neighborhood pond and she's ready?
I've watched it. I don't know how she survived.
Hide the children.
They'd be like four mallard, you know, male mallards. Yeah. I don't know how the poor gal makes it.
Oh, man.
She's about to drown.
You're going about to have a rough day.
It's awful.
So anyway, talking
it's
about
awful.
The majority of Atlantic flyaway waterfowl, Atlantic flyaway. The majority of the ducks that you get there are going to be populations of green-winged teal, ringnecks, and mergansers, right? That pretty much sums up the Atlantic flyaway. Occasionally, we'll get a few others. Don't really see a whole lot of mallards. But the green-winged teal, blue-winged teal also, they didn't mention that. Ringnecks, a lot of ringnecks. And, you know, they say that their numbers are about the same. The region received average to above-average participants. Precipitation this summer, but brood production appears to have been below average or late, likely due to cold spring weather and flooding. So
those
of you who are out there shooting teal and ringos and hairy heads, that's what you call them, a ganser.
Yeah.
Looks like the numbers might be down slightly. But I'm going to tell you, on the Atlantic Flyway, man, those folks who hunt here, around here, here's the whole deal. Usually you'll see a bunch of teal in North Carolina, around that coastal region.
Right.
But it's got to get cold there to push them down here, because that's about as far south as they want to go. I've been out to Lake Matamuskeet before on an average winter, and they are covered up with blue-winged teal, green-winged teal, and if it doesn't get cold – and freeze like all that area up where they can.
Right.
A lot of those birds too, you got those big sounds.
Yeah.
They got no problem hanging out in salt water.
No.
Yeah, they'll hang out in salt water inside the Albemarle Sound, the Pamlico Sound, but they'll stay there. And if it don't get cold and push them down in South Carolina's, you know, we don't get our ducks.
No, you won't.
And the ringnecks, if you go up to Lake Robinson, best time if you want to see ringnecks, go up to Lake Robinson up here in Greer by February.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Be covered up.
February.
Absolutely covered up with ringnecks. I mean, they're just scads of them.
And the season is
outside,
closed.
Outside the season, you know. It's like turkeys or deer rabbits, anything else.
And our winters and springs are just, you know, when it comes to birds and birds.
Are you
going to
start? Are you going to start supporting global warming now, spring?
No, man. I'm all about some global warming. Bring it.
Yeah. I bet he's complaining. It's too hot.
But
deer
hunt. Hey, whatever. It'll eventually cool down.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a hot weather guy.
My whole take on that is I hadn't been around for 100 years.
Right.
And I believe.
Yeah. Whatever.
I believe the weather runs on 100-year cycles, and you know the next 100 years. Probably ain't gonna be that much different than the last 100 years.
That's very good.
I mean, on a cycle, and then people, we get so caught up in, oh well, we don't have enough rain. Well, tell the folks down in coastal South Carolina
we ain't got
enough rain.
Right.
Yeah.
10-4 on that, dog.
So they should have plenty. I don't know if they got ducks or not, but they got water and stuff.
Yeah.
And we're gonna cover some of that where the water has receded enough now where they have reopened some of the public lands down around there, and they're allowing some boating on the Waccamaw and the Petey River.
It's been a rough couple Ooh, weeks down there, dog.
I'd say, more than that. And we had Captain E on last week talking about that. But, you know, and it all has to do with the water.
Yep.
You get water here, you get water there.
It's got to go somewhere.
It's got to go somewhere. And,
yep.
And it'd be nicer to get it in the spring in them prairie pothole regions so that, you know, the ducks could have. I'm going to tell you what, though. Great! I tell you, the new breeding place for ducks.
Right.
That these neighborhood ponds.
I was going to say.
You're just like we were talking about.
Now that you brought that up, one day this week I seen the first big, big, big wad. And it always happens about this time of year. It must have been 60 of them in them sky carp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and geese are coming in.
I could hear them coming. And I knew it was a bunch of them. Yeah. And sure, it was last Saturday. It was a week ago today.
Last Saturday.
And them jokers, and I mean, it must have been 60 of them, man.
Yeah, that's something. We do not have a shortage of sky carp around the upstate here. Boy. But I'm going to tell you what. If you ever go to your neighborhood HOA and suggest, hey, man, I could help some of y'all out, you know, by shooting a few of them geese and getting them off of that pond.
Right.
Man, and they come to the house with pitchforks and torches.
You in charge of the HOA like my mom is?
Yeah.
And do it what you want to do.
There you go. Well, let's go to our break. At the end of the hour, we'll catch the news and come back with the Roadkill Cafe.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Take the news for the break. We'll be back on the flip side with Roadkill Cafe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.